And here we go. Welcome. I am Matt. This is the Anarchist Investor coming at you live every Monday through Friday at 12 Eastern on the Ungovernable channels. We're talking about contrarian investment, talking about the economy, markets, how you can keep, save, and grow your money, hard-earned money, so that people don't try and steal it from you. So that being said, let me pull the banner out of the way. I have finally reclaimed the Odyssey channel, which is absolutely fantastic. We are live on a ton of different platforms. So depending on where you like to watch your video content or even listen to your audio content, we're on a ton of them. You can look in the description for all of the links to those places that we stream to or post recorded content to. If you're watching or listening right now on a platform that you're not normally on, and you want to go one of those others, that would be absolutely fantastic. But if this is the platform that you normally consume content on, please do me a favor. Give me an upvote, subscribe, thumbs up, hit the notification bell, share it, comment, and I'm live. I want to hear your comments and questions. So throw those into the chat and we'll talk while I am live going through the normal everyday kind of talk that we do here at lunchtime about the market. So that being said, today is kind of an interesting day. A lot of times, gold, silver, commodities, and crypto move together. And a lot of that has to do with, I guess, the perception maybe that crypto is a hedge against inflation, right? And I call it a perception. I mean, that's actually, you know, especially with something like Bitcoin that has tokenomics that are fixed and somewhat deflationary, that's the intent. Right. Like that is the intent of a fixed supply of a certain amount of crypto. Same thing with Bitcoin Cash, BSV, and a number of other ones. But so what's interesting is normally when there's some kind of like inflation concern, you usually see the commodities go up and you see the crypto complex go up. But as you could tell today, what I had on the hold screen is Bitcoin, and Bitcoin is taking one on the chin today. Bitcoin is down almost 7% right now at the time of this recording, and we are flirting with that 64,900 level. Now, like I said yesterday on yesterday's live cast, I really think that you'll find support here at 64,900. It's already bounced once, which is you know, indicative of that support. Right now, it's trying to put in a new low of this move that. And it's doing it on slightly higher relative strength. So you might end up seeing a bounce here. That being said, on this show, I don't advocate for short-term trading. Okay. You could be a short-term trader. That's fine. More power to you. Here I'm more about long-term value, dollar cost averaging, you know, taking small moves, not making any big mistakes and that kind of thing. Trading is the opposite of that. Trading is high variability, you know, high alpha, but also high risk. And you could end up losing a ton at the same time that you make a ton on the other side of, you know, certain types of trades. And so that kind of back and forth doesn't really fit most people's lifestyle. I'm trying to help people really kind of take a calculated, you know, kind of a calculated approach to investing in things that are outside of the casino, which, by the way, same thing applies in the casino. You know, they want to take your money too. So they're going to end up taking their money any way they can. And what you might be seeing right now with Bitcoin is a little bit of the BlackRock ETF effect that's happening here with Bitcoin, where some of these sell downs, I don't know if I'll necessarily say that they're going to be amplified, but they might not even have happened in the past, right? You may see some liquidation events in Bitcoin and some of the other cryptos as more ETFs come on board that wouldn't necessarily have happened in the past. And so right now you're seeing Bitcoin battle. And look, I mean, like we're watching the screen right now. You're seeing it battle with that 64,900 level. Okay. I would assume we at least get a short-term bounce right here. Again, I am not advocating trading, but that's what I'm thinking, at least in the near term. What am I thinking in the longer term? Well, in the longer term, if you notice, we pushed through the upper end of this trading range and tried to hold it and move higher, couldn't, fell back in it. Right. And actually, this is the second time we've kind of tried to push through the high end and fell back through. The first time we fell all the way back through the bottom end of the trading range, regained it, tried to move back above it again. And then for those that are listening and not watching, the upper end of the trading range is 69,000. And that's where we kind of springboarded off of the first time in order to get to the new all-time high. This time we didn't even get to a new all-time high, which means that there's weakness. Okay. And that weakness has translated into Bitcoin coming back down to the bottom end of this trading range. I would suspect there's going to be buyers there for at least a little while. I mean, again, I could be wrong. I've made this analogy a million times before. Trading Bitcoin is like trying to ride a bucking Bronco. You could think that you've got it nailed, and then it completely tosses you off, right? So we're down near the bottom end of the range, 64,900, 65,000, give or take. And there might be some support there. And you might even see, like, the further I zoom out, the more things kind of come into perspective. I think there might be some consolidation happening right now at the top end of this most recent move. The other issue that you might be seeing here is this could be the top end of this move. The buying support has kind of exhausted itself. And I'm now looking at a weekly chart, longer term chart. The buying support might have exhausted itself. And now you might be looking at a period of time where we do have a pullback. And the reason why I say that is because on this weekly chart, when I zoom out, when I look at these previous all-time highs, they've been put in typically topping out at a relative strength of anywhere from 88 to like 95. Okay. And so when you look at this Bitcoin chart and you see relative strength, which recently we hit 88 when we put in the new all-time high, that's pretty overbought. I mean, you're in overbought territory, meaning that move has kind of overextended itself. So from that standpoint, I would not be surprised if we either have a period of time of consolidation still kind of sticking around this 64,900 to 69,000 level, or even a pullback that pulls back to this longer term kind of support line that's right here. And so I'll show you. My anticipation is actually if we end up getting some kind of actual appreciable pullback here, you're probably going to see a pullback that comes back to maybe about 58,000. And that will create this really shallow kind of, you could call it whatever you want. I've been looking at this in terms of, from a technical analysis standpoint, it looks like an inverted head and shoulders, right? Starting from the left side of the chart, shoulder, head, and then we will put in another shallow shoulder. And that will be the kind of exit velocity that's needed to get Bitcoin up to 100,000. Now, that being said, regardless of whether or not it's a consolidation and then we make that move or it pulls back, I'm not really changing my personal investment strategy. And it's just, I continue to stack. I'm adding every single month. I add the same amount. I'm actually not adding extra because you know, the time to add extra was back when it was trading at 20,000, right? When it pulls back. Now I'm not necessarily adding extra every single month because we're overextended. We're at, you know, what the chart is saying is overvalued. I would actually say in the longer historical perspective time frame, I actually think we're going to get to 100,000 Bitcoin, and that's going to be probably the high point in Bitcoin for a long time, if it ever does see that point again. And I know that probably going to get a lot of hate mail over that one, but I really think that longer term, if you look at this chart, if we do kind of like consolidate or pull back a little bit, and all of a sudden we hit exit velocity from this consolidation, you're probably going to see 100,000. You might even see like a really strong spike through 100,000. And I think that will be the top for maybe at least 10 years in Bitcoin. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but that's really what I'm looking at. If Bitcoin does go to 100,000, I mean, I'm probably taking a lot off the table. In fact, if it hits like 90,000, 100,000, I'm on record saying I'm taking at least half off, and I don't even have a huge stack, right? Like I just have a small one that I'm continuing to dollar cost average into. That being said, that 10-year time frame will then give you the opportunity to then reallocate a little bit of that money that you've banked into Bitcoin at lower prices. And it also gives you the opportunity to take a look at the landscape and see how crypto and the blockchain environment, the industry, is progressing, and take some other shots at some other coins that are out there that longer term, I think, actually presents a better growth story. Okay. Bitcoin might be a long-term like store of value story, depending on what happens in the stable coin markets. But that being said, I think that you're going to see a pop probably to 100,000, but there's some weakness here first. So, and this is actually also in line with what I've been looking at in terms of the rest of the casino as well. And we'll get to that in a second. But Bitcoin's down big, which means pretty much everything else. And their brother is down big. The only thing I have on my screens that aren't like down big, and this chart's like really wonky because of the way it trades, is the cryptos that are attached to gold and silver. Those are actually up. And the reason why they're up is when I transition over to looking at gold and silver, gold continues this breakout. Okay. And this is the other thing to watch out for. We're either the marketplace is either anticipating inflation or it's anticipating a crash. All right. Now, I thought we were going to have a little bit of a tantrum. This could be the tantrum. All right. And the tantrum happens right before the, you know, when kids want candy and they throw a little bit of tantrum and then they get their candy, like all of a sudden that kind of like, you know, nothing will ever make me feel good again kind of emotional reaction immediately turns into like, oh, okay, we're cool now, right? I think the market is doing that right now. I think you're seeing, you know, the broader marketplace is down. You see most of the major indexes in the casino are down, okay? The small caps are taking it on the chin today, okay? But that's after a big, long run. I could actually see the indexes fall as a result of trying to press the Federal Reserve's hand at getting some rate cuts. Okay. And that being said, gold is rallying in anticipation of those rate cuts. And you know, what's also interesting is typically once you get the rate cuts, the worst of the economic fallout happens after the first rate cut. And so gold is also a safe haven asset when, you know, the shit hits the fan. So it's working for you in two different ways. Now, recently I bought some silver. I continue to buy silver, and actually silver is one of those things where I've actually increased the rate at which I'm dollar cost averaging into silver, because this large consolidation pattern that's happening right here. And actually, if you zoom out, you could actually even call it a really prolonged, what would be considered a bull flag. Okay. This long consolidation pattern right here in silver, if and when this thing breaks out of the top here at like $30, we're going to at least 36. I would say 35, 36 in silver. And so silver has been something that I've been actively purchasing and I will continue to. And in fact, yesterday I did our first monthly giveaway and four lucky recipients got a ounce of silver worth over $25 each. In fact, as of today, worth almost $26 each. And they also got a copy of Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt. Now, this next month, on May 1st, I will be giving away Bitcoin. And so if you are a free subscriber to the newsletter at anarchistinvestor.substack.com, you will end up getting, and this is just for show, this is my Ledger wallet, you will be getting an opportunity or a chance at four $25 amounts of Bitcoin transferred to your Bitcoin wallet of your choosing. If you are a paid subscriber, I'm giving away one $100 amount of Bitcoin to one of the paid subscribers. And that basically comps you for the entire year for your subscription, because you can either pay $10 a month or it's $99 for the year. So you actually get $100 worth of Bitcoin. Your subscription is comped. That's going to be one lucky winner on the paid side. So that being said, make sure anarchistinvestor.substack.com, links in the description, or you can just head there directly by putting that into your web browser. So that being said, silver looks extremely strong. Today, it's up over 3.5%. I would say the chart also is not overbought the way that, say, Bitcoin is. And you know what? I didn't even look at, see, like gold's getting up into this overbought territory. Gold's up at like 73, okay? You could see a rotation of the people stacking gold into silver. Silver is still only in like the midsection of this relative strength chart. You could see silver take off, all right? And so I am still actively buying silver. Same thing happens with silver. In fact, silver is probably even more closely associated with inflation than it is with, you know, kind of the SHTF scenario, okay? Because whether we get inflation or stagflation, silver is usually one of the best performing assets. And I would anticipate that even if the economy falls on hard times, the Federal Reserve is going to play the same, you know, they're going to run the same playbook that they always run. the money printer is going to turn on. They're going to go back to quantitative easing, and then you're going to see more debasement of the dollar, because really in the long run, what they're afraid of in terms of the dollar's you know, stance as the world reserve currency is actually deflation. They can deal with a small amount of inflation. In fact, that's what they want, right? They want 2%, 2.5% inflation every single year in the dollar. What they don't want is deflation. And so the moment that that becomes a possibility, you know, and what's funny is all along this process, you know, Jerome Powell has been talking about, oh, well, you know, the biggest risk is to reignite inflation, right? That's what he's been talking about at his press conferences. That's why we need to hold rates higher for longer so that we can kill inflation. It's a complete lie. I mean, that is true in terms of the risk, but he actually doesn't care about that risk. He cares more so on the other side of that risk. Like, he doesn't want to hold rates high enough for long enough to cause deflation, because if he does, then that's what actually risks the dollar as the world reserve currency. If you're the reserve currency, there needs to be lots of dollars available, right? There has to be liquidity and momentum. They want lots of dollars available, which means printing and lower interest rates and easy money policy. So what you're going to see is they are going to run the same playbook. Rob, and I know Rob personally, Rob is a big silver guy too. He said the banksters are holding that $26 silver level. They are. There's a lot of resistance there. There's a huge movement of people taking physical delivery of silver because there is a huge oversell in the paper markets of silver. Like, think GameStop meme stock kind of mania, right? Where with GameStop, the understanding was way more shares were outstanding short than actually existed, right? Same thing with silver. The playbook in the conventional marketplace in the casino is to short silver and long gold, all right? That is going to unravel to a certain extent. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. This could be it, right? If we have a resurgence of inflation, this could be the unwind of that trade. And that unwind would be massive, absolutely massive. And I'm being conservative, like $35 an ounce silver could end up looking like 50, right? Depending on how bad the unwind is and how bad the short squeeze happens. But that being said, again, we have to watch it and see whether or not it actually plays out that way. And yeah, there's a lot of money interest trying to support or trying to hold down silver at that $26 level. And actually all the way from 26 to 30 is like that range. Once it gets through 30, the sky's the limit. I mean, it'll moon. Like, you'll think silver is Bitcoin, right? Like, it's going to happen. But that being said, I think the Federal Reserve is going to run the same playbook. You're going to see a lot of these commodities continue to rise. And in fact, if I pull some of the other ones up here, oil's at $85 a barrel. I mean, this is the other thing that people forget about the great financial crisis. What actually caused the worst part of the great financial crisis was the inflation in oil prices. And so right before the market cracked and fell apart, oil ramped up to like $100, $120 a barrel, which means if something even closely similar happens here, say oil ends up at $95 or $100 a barrel, you know, the only thing holding consumer spending together right now is the fact that oil and gas have stayed moderately priced. Okay. They're still high, but they haven't been like off to the races. You get rate cuts here, you could see $95, $100 oil, and then it's recession time. And worst case scenario, it's depression time, depending on how many things hit all at the same time, right? Because we have commercial real estate loans that are being restructured right now. You have a ton of underwater treasuries and mortgage-backed securities that are still sitting at the Federal Reserve. They're still sitting at banks. So all of these things have to be unwound at some point. The Federal Reserve is trying to play this long game where it can be unwound over 20, 30, 40, 50 years, okay? Economics is working against them. The economic cycle has shifted to higher rates. And if they try and fight that economic cycle, if they actually start to cut and they cave here, there's going to be a ton of carnage that happens as a result of it. So there's some safe havens. Gold and silver are them, okay? Bitcoin can be that, but from what I'm seeing today, that story isn't exactly playing out right now, Okay. But that doesn't mean that long term, that won't be the story. Long term, you know, you could still see this thing, like I said, take a little bit of a breath, pull back, move sideways, and push higher. And yeah, it's a safe haven, right? Or it could muddle around and just kind of like act like its own kind of thing still, with people trying to figure out what the heck it is, right? So what else am I looking at today? Fixed income, risk off in the high yield bonds. We're back down towards the lower end of that consolidation range that's right here. Again, this is a leading indicator. So if this thing starts to fall apart, watch out. That means the casino's falling apart, okay? This is the shot across the bow for the Fed. This is Wall Street saying, hey, we need you to come in and give us the steroids that we're looking for, right? They need their cocaine. High yield bonds is telling the Federal Reserve, we need that. And if it continues to fall, that's exactly what's happening. They're trying to force the Fed's hand to come in and artificially support asset prices. Treasuries, for the most part, the yields are up, meaning people are selling off the treasuries. The 10-year yield has been increasing, and I've seen a lot of people call for the 10-year yield to hit like 4.5, which might also coincide with the 2-year yield dropping because the Federal Reserve is looking at cutting rates, which could de-invert the yield curve. And like I said in the past, typically once the yield curve inverts, that means there's like a ticking clock until the bomb goes off. The bomb goes off when the yield curve de-inverts, meaning the 2-year yield now drops down below what the 10-year yield is. And once that happens, that's when everything hits the fan. And so keep an eye on that. This has been narrowing slightly, but it's still kind of maintaining this like 0.4% difference in the yield between the two of them. And so the 10-year yield is up today, and you see the 2-year yield is down a little bit. We'll see how that plays out over the next month or so. Like I said, I don't expect the Federal Reserve to cut by June, but their hand could be forced if all of a sudden the market throws a big enough of a fit. And if all of a sudden you start to see these economic numbers that have been somewhat doctored, okay, to make things look not as bad or maybe even slightly good in certain areas, if all of a sudden they lose control and they can't doctor them enough anymore, and now all of a sudden they're bad, the average person catches wind of it, and that means they're going to stop spending and feeding money into the economy. That means it's headed down, and then the Federal Reserve is forced to act. Could that happen by June? Sure, but I fully anticipate that the end of this month, you're not going to get a rate cut. I would think that they're going to coordinate their rate cut with the European Central Bank in June. We'll see whether or not that actually comes about. All right, what else am I looking at? Normally, I look at some uranium. Uranium's down today, or at least the ETF is, as well as the spot price for uranium. I'm hearing more and more buzz about uranium. If you've been following me for a while, I'm dollar cost averaging into this. It will not be a gigantic piece of my portfolio, but this kind of corresponds with oil. So I think everyone should have some exposure to energy. And I wouldn't actually have exposure to solar or the clean energy industry because it relies too much on subsidies. I think you're going to see some draconian cuts coming to the federal government's deficit spending. They're going to have to. Their hand will be forced because the interest on the debt will be too high. And so you're going to see cuts, and that means that the subsidies that prop up the green energy industry are going to probably evaporate really quickly. I think you're going to see what's going to hold up will still be the old dirty stuff. And I'm not a big believer in coal or anything like that. The two things I watch are oil and uranium. I think uranium long-term is going to be a strong play here. And if you look at the ETF is flirting with all-time highs here. Oh, sorry. No. The ETF at one point in time was way higher. This must have been during a squeeze in 2011. But in terms of the last, I'd say eight, nine years, the ETF is flirting with the high of the last move to see whether or not it can push through. So if you don't have any, you might want to build that into your, you know, monthly dollar cost average process or philosophy with your investment portfolio. So something to keep an eye on. All right, what else am I looking at? The dollar is actually down slightly today. And I talked yesterday about, you know, whether or not the dollar up or down matters. Well, right now it's playing with this medium-term resistance line that dates back to the high of the dollar from this last move after the markets got destroyed in 2022. So keep watching this, because if the dollar explodes higher, you could still see commodity prices move higher, because remember, it's relative to other fiat currencies. It's not just relative to like itself. Okay. So you could see the dollar move higher compared to the other currencies, but all of them could still be falling together versus hard assets like gold and silver, like actual hard currency, actual money. So something to pay attention to there. All right. What else do I have? Really quickly, let's check in on the some of the individual names in the casino. I really think this is becoming more and more apparent. I was live the moment that NVIDIA hit the top. I could be completely wrong. We could have another knee-jerk move higher coming if the Federal Reserve cuts rates. But that being said, this high mark right here, this candle wick at the top, I was live when that thing happened. And at the moment, I was like, you know what? This could be it. This could be the end of AI mania. The bubble might be at the very least shrinking, if not popping. We'll see if that remains, you know, if that comes to be true. But you're seeing a number of these AI and, you know, chip stocks start to reverse. AMD has had a big reversal recently. Texas Instruments is just kind of trading sideways. And actually, Texas Instruments hasn't really participated in the AI mania with all the rest of the semiconductors. Taiwan Semi has pulled back big time. So this might have been that top. We'll see. Like, you know, time will tell. And in fact, you might actually get a knee-jerk pop when the Fed cuts rates, and it might come and try and put in a new all-time high, or maybe even tick another new all-time high. But it'll be on lower relative strength, and that thing is going to about face and get destroyed right after that. Okay, a lot of these AI chip names, I think that's going to be their fate within the near future, at least within the next 6 to 12 months. But that being said, that's really what I'm looking at. So let me go back to the comments to see if anyone else is looking at anything else. A reminder, because I'm here live, I want to hear what you guys are looking at, you know, what your opinion is on things, and whether or not you see eye to eye with me, or if you have something different, because that's the way we get a good conversation going. And, you know, a little bit of friction starts a fire, which is absolutely fantastic. A reminder, I don't get helped by the algo. So give me a sub, hit the notification bell, upvote, share. And like I said, if you are watching the recorded version of this, I'll get back to you on the comments too. So, don't think that you just have to be here for the live in order to share in the conversation. Throw something into the comments. I'll get back to you and, let's talk about it. So with that, I will be back tomorrow at noon, as usual on Wednesday. And, we'll talk some more about the markets, the economy, and some contrarian investment. So with that, I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you. Have a great afternoon. Peace.